Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soul Seekers podcast, where we believe that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure as we share our mission of mentorship is conservation. To learn more about everything we do, check out our show on Carbon TV or go to soulseekersnation.com. Freedom on, everybody, and stay soulful. If you want to take your shooting experience to the next level, then check out Coltac gear for 100% made in America products. Coltac manufactures specialty gear designed for long-range shooting, hunting, and other tactical applications. From their support bags, suppressor covers, shooting mats, and a whole lot more, Coltac is creating tough, durable, and innovative gear for both civilian and professional markets. Go to Coltac.com to see all that they have to offer. That's Coltac.com. If you are looking to get a new rifle or build your own, look no further than Kelbley's. Kelbley's actions and rifles have a higher level of accuracy and hold 92 world records set on either one of their rifles or rifle actions. Whether you're looking for an ultralight mountain rifle or wanting to compete in precision rifle shooting, Kelbley's has you covered. Go to Kelbley.com to find out more or give them a call as their customer service is the best. That's Kelbley.com. Kelbley's. If you're looking to take your hunting to another level, there's no better way to do it than by subscribing to Onyx Hunt. If you want to get better at hunting and go deeper into your scouting, Onyx is the number one GPS app for that. Join the millions of hunters who trust Onyx Hunt to find more game, discover new access, and hunt smarter. If you want to know more about Onyx, go to onyxmaps.com/hunt or download their app today for a free trial. If you are wanting to become more accurate and deadly with your shooting, one of the best things you can do is upgrade your trigger with a Timney. Timney triggers are 100% made in America and have been since their founding, providing a crisp, reliable, and repeatable trigger break every time. I'll be shooting Timney triggers in my guns this year, and I hope you'll join me in shooting the world's finest trigger. Go to TimneyTriggers.com to get yours today. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Soul Seekers Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. Today's episode is one near and dear to my heart because as somebody who has taught physical education and health in schools for 20 plus years, it's something that when we tie nature in to our physical health, our mental health, our social health, and all different aspects, it is the hallmark and foundation of how we show up each and every day. I'm a huge believer and proponent that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure, but not only the transformation through our mindset, but the transformation of our physical, real, everyday life. And a lot of that comes down to the healing power of hunting and the healing power of nature and what it provides. So today's guest is a former 16 and a half year Marine, someone who spent 12 and a half years in Marine Special Ops, and just an awesome human being, someone who I serendipitously ran into at a gas station when I moved down here in the state of Texas. And within like the first month of living here, I show up at a gas station and I see a guy wearing a Hoyt archery hat. And I'm like, hey, fellow hunter, I'm going to talk to him. I don't know anyone here. I'm going to reach out. So I made some comment about his hat. He responded and we started talking hunting. And here we are 3 years later recording a podcast, and that's the power of how hunting can bring people together. And that's something for us to always remember. So without further ado, today's guest is Junior Owen, awesome human being, and someone with a powerful story to share with all of you. So, Junior, thank you so much for being on the podcast, bro, and joining me.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is phenomenal. Brother, your story of... just first off, how we met, I always tell people, and especially on this podcast over and over, that I do not believe in coincidences. Life happens with purpose. There is a story that we get to walk out, whether it's predestined or it's destiny, however you want to look at it, but that our choices end up leading us to this life that we ultimately are manifesting for ourselves. I was talking today in school, whether or not people believe it or not, is the law of attraction, right? What we put our mind to and what we think about and what we really just like put out into the universe naturally attracts to us, right? Like a bug to a light. But at the same time, God has called us to be the light of the world, right? And that we are to let our light shine. Yeah. And so if we're not letting our light shine, then we're not attracting to us the way we really need to be. And so at the end of the day, you got to let your light shine by engaging in a conversation with a complete stranger at a gas station that resonated with me 3 years ago. And here we are having a podcast conversation and talking about your journey and how hunting has been a huge part of your healing process from all the different trauma in which you carry from multiple years of service in the military. And we're recording, today is November 5th, a week prior to the Marine Corps birthday, right? What is that, November 10th or the 11th?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
November 10th.
November 10th, the Marine Corps birthday, the birth of
250 years.
200, isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's so awesome. So really appreciate it. Just real quick, what's the background? I know obviously I said that you are a Marine Corps veteran, but just what are some of the things that you got into briefly that?
So, you know, I just born and raised in Texas and, you know, grew up small town, not too far from where we met. And, just, I grew up hunting and fishing there. That was a big thing that me and my dad did, camped. And that was like my life. Like I, you know, like back then it wasn't, we didn't have a bunch of video games. I mean, yeah, you had like PlayStation or Nintendo or whatever, but I woke up, and I was telling my son this the other day, cause he was getting tired of watching YouTube hunting videos with me. He's like, let's watch something else. I'm like, man, this is what I used to watch, TNN or, you know, whatever, the Outdoor Network, all that stuff. I woke up early and stayed up late to either watch Mossy Oaks Hunting the Country or Monster Bucks. And I couldn't get enough of it. I used to beg my dad to, you know, we always rifle hunted, but I always had this desire to archery hunt, to be a bow hunter. I'm like, Dad, when am I going to get to bow hunt? Well, as you know, and anybody else is probably watching this, bow hunting can be an expensive hobby to get into, but you can get into it fairly cheap. And it just kept rocking on and on and on. And anyway, finally, I got to do that. So that was something that was just has always been a part of me. It's always, I have always felt at peace being in the woods and just watching deer. Deer have always been, I don't know, like, I guess my favorite animal. Like, my son even knows that. And, you know, I played some sports in high school. I wasn't a super talented athlete, but I never gave up. Mm-hmm. I lost my mom when I was a junior in high school, and that really, really changed a lot of like my path. That shifted a lot of stuff for me in my life. It really, I think it made me have to grow up a little bit quicker. And then, you know, I didn't really know what I was going to do as far as life. I decided that I needed to be in the military, but before like all that, like back when I was a kid, yeah, I wanted to deer hunt, but you know, I was like Chuck Norris for Halloween, like Commando. Like I watched all the Rambo movies, the typical boy that made a bazooka out of any like stick he picked up. And we always played guns. I could outfit a whole platoon with guns. We'd have get togethers at the house and we'd just play Army the whole time.
Yeah.
Now it's Marine, but back then I didn't know what I was doing. So. And I kind of know what I'm doing now anyway, but, so it was always a dream of mine to be in the military. I always wanted to be in special operations too. I didn't know what that really was at the time. But I always wanted to be like Rambo, which he was a Green Beret. So I always wanted to do something more. And then, you know, I got in, you know, my junior year, I really got interested in the Army and talked to some recruiters. And then that just wasn't really jiving for me at the time. Of course, I was still a junior, so what did I know? And then my senior year, I talked to a couple Marine recruiters. I decided that I was still going to go to college. I went to college in Weatherford.
Okay.
And for a year and a half. And I wanted to do wildlife biology. I wanted to be like in charge of like a game ranch and do all like what I thought that they did, like count deer and see all these big bucks and whatever. Grades wasn't the greatest. I was a horrible student. Spent too much time partying and a lot more time working. And I changed my major to criminal justice. I don't know if you can hear my dog, but he's whining back here.
It's all good.
So I changed it to criminal justice, and one of the guys that was in my, well, the professor that was the main criminal justice guy there, he was a retired Marine, Vietnam vet. And then there was one other guy that had just got out of the military. He was artillery Marine. So like, I just kind of like leaned towards them. And then I was working at a feed store in Weatherford at the time, and all these Marine vets were coming in and I was listening to them. And then I went to a rodeo and signed up for the Marines, and I joined the Marine Corps in January of 04 and spent almost my whole enlistment. Well, actually, it was my whole enlistment except for boot camp and then like School of Infantry type stuff on the East Coast. So I was at Camp Lejeune. I was a radio operator by trade in the beginning. I got told that that was the closest I could get to being a grunt. Deployed a couple times with my first unit, 2nd LAR, 2nd Light Armored Reconnaissance. And I was planning to get out. I wanted to get out of the military after 4 years. And I got this cake job. I was an instructor at a non-commissioned officer's course, which actually the guy that I'm here with in Missouri right now hunting his property, he was one of the fellow instructors there. So he allows me to come up here and hunt. Anyway, fast forward, I was supposed to go back. Well, okay. So I was going to get out, and I told my brother, I was like, I'm going to be a professional bass fisherman. I need you to help me look for a bass boat. And he's like, okay. Well, I never found the bass boat. Thank God, because I'm not as great of a bass fisherman as I thought I was. So I ended up reenlisting. And then shortly after that, I got orders to MARSOC, Marine Special Operations Command. Went to selection, got assessed and selected, and spent the next 12 and a half years doing that whole gig. During that time frame, you can actually during that time frame, before that, I guess, I got back off of deployment, and I had an old bow. It was a bouncing around all over this place here, but it was a Martin bow that I bought off one of my buddies in college, and I wanted to get a new one, and I went and purchased a Matthews switchback, and I toted that thing around in my toolbox because we couldn't have them in the barracks, so it was stashed in my toolbox. I had a climber in the back of my truck, And anytime I had an opportunity, you were able to hunt on base if you took the hunter's education or whatever test there on base, and really kind of cut my teeth on hunting public land. It's kind of public, kind of private, on base, trying to learn how to hunt deer outside of a corn feeder, because that's what I grew up doing.
Yep.
I had no idea what to do. Learned a lot from a couple different guys at the archery range, and then I took a kind of like a hiatus from being able to hunt, and really archery itself too. Just, you know, changing jobs, it really was demanding, and so there was something missing. Now, back up, my first deployment, my dad passed away, so there's another like notch on the belt, mental health thing that was just building up. So I lost my mom when I was a junior, and then my dad in 05, so 01 and 05. And then, so anyway, like there was always just this yearning to get back in the outdoors, whether it was hunting or fishing. And I always tried to surround myself with like-minded individuals that like to do that. And at one time it was hard to find individuals that are like that.
Yeah.
And then I went to Toys for Tots archery shoot on sometime in December, like the 17th of December or whatever. And I met a good buddy of mine, and we just hit it off. We had the same type of bow. He shot for Bowtech. I had a Bowtech at the time, and we started hunting together and learned a lot from him. Learned a lot of like tracking or woodsmanship stuff from him.
Yep.
And just before that, it was just like there was like an emptiness. Like I couldn't figure out what was going on. Like, you know, I knew that something was missing, but I didn't know what. And come to find out, there was two things missing: my love for the outdoors, and then later on in life, my salvation. So those two things were missing. I didn't find the salvation part until way later. But I do believe through the outdoors, though, it definitely led me into that, because it was definitely a saving grace for me for later on in my career. And then dealing with getting medically retired out of the military. So that's a lot of rambling there.
Well, no, it sets up your story beautifully, because we're talking about mental health. We're talking about the healing power of hunting and nature. And this podcast is titled Soul Seekers, right? Like you were missing something in your soul, and it was that connection with nature. But what's found in nature? God.
Right.
God is found in nature. Yourself is found in nature. We are made in the image of God. So when you find yourself, it also allows you an opportunity to find God, even if you're not looking for him. And so this is why this podcast is Soul Seekers, right? We seek after our own souls. We're seeking after the other souls to recruit them. But at the same time, we're seeking out a better life for ourselves. And every human being on this world carries trauma from their past, whether it's youth trauma, whether it's trauma from experiences such as military or parents dying, or, you know, just life is traumatic. We enter this world traumatically, And hopefully we exit this world peacefully. But at the end of the day, you know, it's traumatic for other people, right?
Absolutely.
But one of the things that I talk about a lot in my class, in our life skills class, is that we filter our view of the world is based off of the majority of our belief structure that is formed from ages 2 to 6. Now, if you carry a lot of trauma from ages 2 to 6, maybe your parents beat you, maybe you got yelled at, maybe you didn't have high self-esteem, you didn't feel loved. It all ultimately comes down to feeling loved. Do you feel loved from your closest people in your life, or do you not? And then if you don't feel loved, you feel an emptiness, and you try to fill that void. But that lack of love, that lack of comfort, of acceptance, of whatever you want to call it, gets filtered through our perception from that trauma, which then creates our thoughts, which leads to our feelings, which leads to our actions, and actions have consequences. And then that cycle just continues over and over until we make a conscious effort to say, no more. No more am I going to allow my mindset to be filtered off of trauma based. I'm going to now shift into love and love based. And this is where we shift a victim mentality mindset into a growth mentality mindset, right? Because the desire to change needs to be greater than the excuse to stay the same. And so hearing you share all this is only once again affirming me on why I need to be doing this podcast and why I need to be spreading the gospel of hunting, but also the gospel of Jesus and God and our connection with humanity. In the Bible, it talks about we are made in His image, right? We are made in His image. Whether people believe this or not or listen to this podcast and disagree, that's up to you, but that's one of the things that I believe. I believe we're made in the image of God. So if we are, and He calls us to love God and love man, well, if we are made in His image, then we need to love man because that is the image of God. Well, that starts by loving ourselves because we are also made in His image. How I tie this all together into your story is just the fact that one of the things that has really transformed my life is to get away from it all. And one of the beautiful things about podcasting, I had this conversation with a guest this last spring, is like, how often in life do you get to have an uninterrupted, at least 1 hour dedicated conversation with somebody nowadays? It's all,
yeah.
It's always a phone call or a text message, or I got to go here, or the, you know, whatever. So podcasting is super special in that regard, but hunting is a choice where we choose into the solitude. We choose into the quietness. It's forced quietness and stillness that we choose into in hunting, and that is one of the most powerful things because we in society, the collective we, the royal we, always wants to distract because it feels good to create a buffer between our hurt, our pain, our trauma, our stress. And then it's easy to mask it with alcohol, with drugs, with pornography, with distractions, video games. I mean, whatever it is, you know. But ultimately, God says, be still and know that I am God. And there's no better way to be still than to get out in nature. Because when you're out in nature, it's just you. You may have a buddy with you. Maybe you have cell service. Maybe you don't. But ultimately, it's just you. And it's an opportunity for us to recharge, ground, and renew our soul and our spirit. Because we unplug and disconnect from them so much in the concrete jungle of our life that when we get back into nature, it's like, ooh, I was missing this. I feel that. And without putting words in your mouth, I'm assuming that that is something that really, like, you didn't know what you were missing until you got back into it and you're like, aha.
Oh, yeah.
Would you agree absolutely. With that?
100%. You know, it's that, you know, waking up with the birds, you know, like seeing the sunrise. And even at early age, I drank coffee with my old man. And like, that was the thing. We would be on the water or in a deer stand watching the sun come up. And it was like, and my dad never was, he was the man's like, I don't need to go to church. This is my church. And that's the way I grew up. I got drugged into church, by my great aunts and my grandmother. And I was like fighting. And then I didn't know what it was, but I knew when I was outdoors and I knew what my dad was saying, knew that that's where I felt closer to God. Now, am I the exact, I'm the chip off the old block from my old man, but I do have this sense of like, I need to go to that brick and mortar and be in a congregation at some points, you know, but, you know, the whole sharing the gospel with one another, sharing the gospel with like individuals, and then those that are lost and trying to bring them to it. That is something that I've always strived to do, and then bring people into the outdoor community as well. I've always, like, anybody's ever asked me, like, oh, well, I don't know anything about fishing. Well, what do you want to fish for? I may know something about that, or we can find some way to, you know, look into getting this fishing pole, you know, whatever it is that to get them out there. And that's something that I try to pass on to my son as well. And that boy absolutely loves to fish, and he is upset that he is not here hunting with me right now. But that's, you know, it's disconnecting from the world, because, you know, and hoping that we don't have service, but knowing that we probably need it in an emergency at the same time, because heaven forbid that we do something without our cell phones anymore. And I was just in the tree stand this evening thinking about that, like how often when you do have service and you're in the stand or on the lake or whatever, you catch yourself looking at your phone and then doom scroll while you're in the stand. How many deer have I missed by, like, because I had a little bit of service? Now it's more of a struggle just to put that away and not take the selfie, because everybody knows that everybody has to see that I'm not killing anything. So this is what I look like at the beginning of the hunt, throughout the hunt, when there's no deer around, you know, like, so there. Technology is a great thing, but it's also a hindrance when it comes to disconnecting and then reconnecting to God.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. That's a long way of saying I agree with you.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. So you spent 16 and a half years in the military. You're medically retired. I'm sure you saw a lot of stuff in the sandbox when you were on deployments and doing your different things. What type of anger or hurt or pain did you feel when you were medically retired from the military? And what did you find yourself going towards to mask that pain rather than to heal that pain?
That's a good question. That's a deep question. The trauma, here's the thing is, you can't look at somebody and know that they have something wrong with them. I mean, I'm fortunate enough that I came home with all my fingers and toes, all my appendages. So everything that I have is TBI related, traumatic brain injury, and then, you know, PTSD, and then I mean, there's just a ton of different things that's just stacked up there. And I don't necessarily need to go into my whole medical
right.
record, but it was my goal was not to ever get out. I wanted to do at least 20. And I had some other things go on in the service, and then my medical stuff started like wiggling its ugly little head, and it was making things way worse, like cognitive function was just not there. I mean, there was things that like I might have developed for like a storyline for certain mission sets or whatever for training, and then I wouldn't be able to recall what I had wrote. And while I was an instructor, luckily I was at an instructor status. I don't know if that's really good or not, but it was kind of like a downtime. And what I started feeling was this despair. Like, what do I do now? What is wrong with you? Why are these things so hard for you to do? And why are the things that you find joy in making you angry? Because it, as much as I loved being outdoors, it was so frustrating to be outdoors for me too, because I couldn't do simple things that, or things that were simple to me, at the time, because my anxiety and depression was just like looming, from you name it, failed relationships. My career looks like it's going down the drain, something that I couldn't, you know, handle, but here I am, I'm supposed to be this guy that this high end operator. And now all of a sudden I'm getting shown the door. Now there was a portion of me that was like, oh, I could get out early. That was a like a breath of fresh air, mm-hmm. far as like they're gonna take care of me. Like it's not just like a complete boot. Is that a great feeling? Somewhat, but at the same time, that's not what I wanted. I wanted what I wanted, not what God had planned for me. Because my whole plan was, like I said, get out at 20 and retire fully that way, do some more deployments, still be around my buddies. Some of my buddies are still in. Some of them are going past 20 right now. And a lot of them have gotten out, and a lot of them have gotten out for the same reasons that I have. But the feeling of hopelessness and not worthy, you start seeing the other guys getting praised, and then I can't do stuff. And then I try to seek refuge. At one point, I tried, you know, it's deer season, so I try to go deer hunting. Well, now I can't even make decisions that quickly anymore, to where I'm like, I'm going to go deer hunting. All my stuff's in the truck. I take off. Well, then what would happen is I would get in the truck and I'm like, get down the street. I'm like, oh, I forgot my stand. Go back. The stand's in the back of my truck. Mm. Okay. Get to where I'm going. I forgot my release. And these things happen on a daily basis for most people, but not for where I was at in my life at that time, because we did pre-mission checks, and that's the way I did my hunting. Like pre-mission checks, I have all this stuff. I check all my gear. It's all placed in one place at one time, and I know exactly. I can reach into my hunting bag or my bow case blindfolded and grab everything, because I knew exactly where it was at, for the most part. But the simple task of just wanting to go tying fishing knots would be frustrating, because my vision was troublesome. And then making a decision where I was going to go hunt. Now, I mean, I think we all have that problem when we have cameras that are showing us, oh, this big buck here, or this here, or the wind's here. Well, it was so bad that, like, I would get into the woods and then I would walk out, and then I would get to my truck and I would walk back into the woods and I would walk back out, or I'd get in the stand and then I'd just be like, what am I doing here? Worthless. I had so much self-pity. You're not good enough. How dare you let this happen to you? What are you going to do now? You have a son. How is he going to ever look up to you if you can't do simple tasks?
Yeah.
You're getting kicked out of the military. I wasn't getting kicked out. I was getting medically retired. But I had to flip that to be like, okay, I didn't do this to myself on purpose. You know, I chose this lifestyle. I knew the consequences that could happen, but little did I know that the effects that they would take later on from IED blast, or, you know, training hard, getting knocked out in training or whatever, that it was going to affect me so bad.
Yeah.
And just everyday life. I mean, getting, driving somewhere and then having an intent, like going Christmas shopping. I was going Christmas shopping for my son. I get down, and this was probably one of the worst feelings I had at the time. I got down there and the lights were messing with me, and I had to sit, I was in Sportsman's Warehouse in Wilmington, North Carolina, and I had to sit down on an end cap, and workers came up to me, associates, and they're like, are you okay? I'm like, absolutely not. I need to sit down. And they're like, well, do we need to get anything for you? Do we need to call like the 911, or do you have somebody to call? I didn't have anybody. I'm like, I just need to like sit here and like figure this out. So finally I was able to get, they brought me a turkey hunting stool, mm-hmm. and I sat down on it. And then I was finally able to just get out. So a lot of it had to do with some of the flickering and the lights. It was messing up with some of my equilibrium, whatever. Not a doctor, but I know it was messing with me bad.
Yeah.
And then not knowing why I'm in a place at the time. Mm-hmm. Or how I got to a place at times. So I'm like, yeah. And I think we all have that where you're driving down the road and you just kind of like zone out and you're like, oh, I missed my exit.
Yeah.
Well, that would happen on a big scale of like, I'm going to say work and I end up like at the gym in town, or you name it. I'm at a grocery store. I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, I'm supposed to be at work right now. And then I have to call and say, hey, I'm late. So it got to where I was put, because when you go through the medical process to get out, and it's been a while now, but they put you on a medical board and you're waiting for your findings. So all this, you're sweating all this. Like, am I going to get found unfit for duty? What does that look like in the future? Like, how am I going to be able to provide? I have just spent 16 and a half years of my life doing this one thing. I don't know anything else. I wasn't a good student, so college wasn't an option. Like, I've tried to do college over and over again, and it's just, I don't learn well. I do well hands-on, but I don't read and articulate and comprehend stuff as well as I should. Yeah. So it's very frustrating.
So as far as like masking the pain or going to things that weren't healthy for you, at what point were you doing things that weren't necessarily the best, and then you made the decision, like, this is how I'm going to heal my life? Or when did that realization come to you?
So I think I put on a facade for a while. I think all of us do. We're like, oh yeah, we're good. Well, you can look at a guy and he's going to the liquor store and downing a bottle of Jack, or mine was vodka and Killcliff, like, or whatever, like, daily. So I was like, I'm good, right? I don't want to look weak because I'm a big tough man, and drinking is what I do, because I'm a man. And then, you know, I had problems with women, I never really had, this is kind of ridiculous saying this, I never had a problem with alcohol. Like, I just drank, but I did drink in excess at times. Mm-hmm. But I never, that was never the problem. The problem was that I just drank every day. Might not be hammered every day, but I just drank all the time. Mm-hmm. So I slowed down, when I got out. I slowed down a lot when I had my son, realizing I'm a parent. I got a little one around. I need to be here for him.
Yeah.
And be less of this type A personality that drinks and I'm a man. It's okay to have a beer every once in a while. That's fine. But, you know, I don't think I really started healing. And I'm still healing. It never stops. That's you know, you let your, take your gloves off, that's when the devil gets you, you know?
Yeah.
I lost, my second oldest brother. And so I lost a sister in, 2020, just before I got out. And then after I got out, a year after I got out, I lost one of my brothers to cancer. When he was going through, when I took him to the, one of the preachers that I knew in my hometown, he was there talking with him. And I asked my brother, I was like, hey, you know, where are you at with God? And he goes, I'm not worried about that. I took care of that a long time ago. I'm like, okay. But in turn, I'm thinking to myself, something's missing here. Like, yes, I go to church. Yes, I pray over my food. I need to do something more.
Yeah.
So I started talking to the preacher, and I ended up getting baptized in August of 21 at my local lake in my hometown. He asked me, do I need anybody there? I was like, just me and you, we're good. Like, I can confess this to everybody else. You know, nobody needs to see me just dunk it here or whatever. I want to get it done now. And it was like a split, this, like, by a suit of pants, like, aha. I know what this is. I know what I need. And at the time I was going to school, I stopped this as well. I was going to school to be, I had started going to school to be in the ministry. So I did that for like a year and a half. And then I just couldn't keep up with my schoolwork. Bad student. So all you people that are listening, I don't like school. So, and it's been, I don't think there was just a one time, this is what I need to do. Cause I checked the block on, I needed to get baptized. Like, I needed to go to church. I did that. I needed to get baptized. I did that. Well, when I got out, I just let myself go. I drank, I ate pizza all the time. I just wasn't taking care of myself in the gym or health wise. I went from like probably 220 to 275. And that was a wake up call. I was like, one day it was in April, and I think I was 37 at the time. And I was like, all right, you disgusting thing. What have you done? Nothing is what I had done.
Yeah.
I just let myself go. And I told myself I need to be fit by 40. And that was a big turning point, because once I started doing the fit by 40, it was like, I can do all this stuff with my body, but if I don't heal my soul, if I don't get right with Christ first, or at least along the same time, none of this other stuff is going to matter. Like, so fast forward to 40. I took part in First Form's like fall challenge. Mm-hmm. I lost like 20 pounds there. I had already lost like 40 pounds before. So I was down, to 210 or whatever at the time, 202, something I can't remember. And I was doing a daily Bible study, staying in the Word a lot more. I wish I should be in the Word more now. I think that's the ebb and flow as us as Christians, that we need to really fight on that, and hold that as the one thing that we need to hold on to and do regardless, no matter what. Because when I don't put that above anything else, I can start feeling all these other things starting to fall back into place again that I used to deal with: my struggles, anxiety, depression, self-loathing, suicidal thoughts. I think it was the deer season after we had met or whatever. I can't remember. Anyway, it was deer season. I was feeling some type of way. I had a lot of anxiety, just uneasy for like 2 or 3 days. And it was slowly building, starting to get my migraines again. And I was struggling. Well, I decided, you know what? I'm going to go deer hunting. So I go to my niece's property. I'm driving there, and it's like out south of Weatherford. So it's south of town, and it's about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I have my deer rifle in the truck and my handgun. And it was like, you're going to take your life. My thoughts right then and there, you're done. You're going to drive out there. You're going to pull in the gate. And all this premeditated stuff was going through my mind. And I instantly started bawling. And I cried. And what I guess a normal person would have done is like, oh, turn around, go back, seek help. Turn your guns over to somebody. I was like, nope, we're going deer hunting. I prayed for the next 30 minutes the whole way there. And I'm just bawling my eyes out. Can barely see the road, the back roads. And I get to probably about a quarter mile from the little lease that I was going to my niece's place. And it was like, I could breathe. The weight was off of me and everything was good. And I had just been praying to God to like, I don't need to leave yet.
So you made it to the deer lease and you're like, yeah, no, I'm going hunting.
Yeah. So just before I got to the deer lease, like I said, I prayed probably the hardest I've ever prayed in my life. And it was like my tears were completely gone. The weight was off my shoulders, off my chest. I could breathe again. And I went and I just sat in the stand. Didn't even take my gun or anything. Not because I was fearful. I just went and sat. And the whole time I was in the stand, I started crying again. And it was being grateful, thankful. And it was just praying the heck out of thanking God for saving me. And knowing that I wasn't supposed to be gone. Because I was saying, God, I don't want to leave. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be gone from now. I've got too much stuff. I know I'm supposed to be doing something more. I don't know what this is that's happening to me right now, but I need you to take this away from me because I am not strong enough. I cannot do this on my own. And that's where we all, those of us that have, well, I think everyone struggles with some of this at some point in time is the, I got it. Like, I can do this.
Yeah.
And I, you can't, you cannot do it. Like, I don't care how tough you are, what you've been through. You have the ability to get through it, but you need that spotter. And sometimes that spotter has to pull the weight off of you, you know, like, because nobody wants to be crushed by whatever it is that they're lifting, you know?
Yeah, correct.
And the weight that I had on my shoulders was just flowing through me with anxiety and depression. And the evil one was just like knocking at the door, like, hey, you're not good enough. You are worthless. Like your past relationships are this bad. You wasn't able to make it all the way through your military career. Everything was just stacking up. And I would like to say that that was the last time that ever happened. It's not. Like it's one of those things that you have to check in every once in a while and make sure that things are good. And it's not every once in a while. It's a daily check-in. And how I do that is I have to stay in the Word. I would like to say that I'm in the Word daily all the time. Like that's what I do, but I slip. But it's the trying and it's the praying and it's pulling the Bible out and using it or the Bible app or whatever to really push me forward.
Yeah.
That was a big aha moment. I had to, and that was a reason why I ended up moving from Texas as well. Because as much as I loved being where I was at, there was just bad memories. There was no progress in my life. Just self-doubt. I love being around my family, but in some senses, and I hate saying it, but it's the truth. It was dragging me down too, because the memories of my brother passing and him not being there and then having to deal with the estate and then just, it just was a whole list of things that I decided to run away. So I ran to Oklahoma and was up there looking for a place to live. And it just follows you. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. You got to face the pain at some point.
Absolutely.
You got to face it. Just like a buffalo in a snowstorm. You got to run into the storm. For that storm to get past you. If you constantly are running away from it, it's going to be chasing you. It's always there. That anxiety is always there. Let me ask you this real quick. And because there's a lot that we can talk about, but for the sake of time, I want to honor your time. You're at deer camp and you got to get up early in the morning and all that. You have since spent more time in nature. You've gone and became a backpacker and you've hiked the Appalachian Trail and done a lot of that. So a two-part question, and whether it's hunting or whether it's nature, but what has hunting and nature done for you?
One, it's nature has just always been a safe place. Like I can detach, I can reset, and that's what this is right here. Like I'm up here. I didn't get to hunt the last year because I moved again to be closer to my son, which was a part of the whole thing with the Appalachian Trail. Being out there for months at a time, being alone in my mind, talking to God, and really resetting my life. If you want to really discover yourself, take off for a week or two and just go hiking some mountains.
Yeah.
You being from where you're from and being in the mountains and which were really great mountains out there compared to what I was in, but like the solitude, just being at peace.
Yeah.
Nature. That's what nature does for me. The hunting side of it. You know, it's never about the kill. Like I'm at deer camp to take home a big trophy. Yeah. Bring home some meat. But, it was also a vacation. It's a reset for me. Like everybody's like, whoa, where are you going? I'm like, going to Missouri. What are you going to do there? Deer hunting. Well, why don't you just deer hunt here? I'm like, I need to get away.
Yeah.
Like I need to get in different woods. I need to get away from here. And it was, it's a complete detach. Now, do I need to leave a state to do that? No, it's just afforded the opportunity. It's just, it's solitude and reset and it's a time that I can really talk to God and be, and then all the memories from when I was a kid and just past hunts, reflecting, and that's a lot of it is just reflecting on life too.
Yeah.
Where I'm at, where I'm going, what I would like to do. And it removes that anxiety from me. Come here. Hey, you're whining.
Gotta love dogs. I got two of my way next to me right now. Inward reflection leads to outward correction. And if we want to outwardly correct our lives and how we show up each and every day, then we have to spend time inwardly reflecting. And being in nature for me provides me that opportunity to actually inwardly reflect. I love that. It's the power of it. Your story is powerful. I guarantee that there's people that listen to this episode and they're like, man, I have taken hunting for granted. I've taken nature for granted. I've taken my blessings for granted. And it's just a reminder to ground ourselves and be grateful for all. And to remember that life happens for us, not to us. We're not victims to this life.
That's it. That's right.
Life happens for us. It is, everything is an opportunity for a blessing in our life of growth, of improvement, of achievement, of the next step. And when we feel despair, when we feel discouraged, when we feel hopeless, the best thing that we can do is the next first step. Just the next first step. One foot in front of the other, one moment in front of the next, You don't have to think about this big mountain that you're climbing. It's just one step at a time.
That's a good analogy. That's very, very much so. One step in front of the other. I mean, you know, being in the woods, being in nature, being at deer camp, being in a tree stand hunting whitetail, like I have to remind myself as well, like, because I say a little prayer, and it always is like, I just let a big buck come out. But at the same, like, that's what you want. That's what you want. But at the same time, it's like, you know, if it's in your will,
yeah.
Like if I'm afforded the opportunity, I'm grateful. But if not, I am so grateful already. Because of where I'm at and what I'm doing, and just, and man, I would say the outdoors offered an opportunity for me to, really reset and refocus my life. And the Appalachian Trail definitely did that, because I was alone on a mountain in my feels, in my mind, one step in front of another, and just looking up and like, oh man. And I've done hard stuff, and that is a part of hard stuff. But in that, those moments of pain, that's when some of that stuff really starts coming out. And then you're like, okay, God, you're humbling me right now. I'm grateful.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Putting you on the spot right here. Do you have a favorite Bible verse you want to share with everyone?
Oh man. I am horrible with remembering Bible verses, but I think it's Matthew. I can't remember, but it's about, I can't say it the right way, but it's, don't worry about tomorrow. Just worry about today, because tomorrow's worries will take care of themselves. And I have to rethink that all the time, because I constantly worry about tomorrow. I always worry about whether it's where am I going to go hunt, mm-hmm. or what am I doing next in life? How am I going to, you know, make that extra cash to get to where I want to be in life?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like when I live in an apartment right now, I want to have my own property, you know, like, how am I going to get there? Worry about what you're doing right now. Don't sweat the small stuff. Like, just.
Very apropos with the one step in front of the other, huh?
Yes.
I have the luxury of having the internet right next to me. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Meaning, the evil's always going to be there. Don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. Don't have anxiety about it. Focus on the things that you can control and let go of the things that you cannot control.
Right.
Right? What is that? I think that's like a part of Alcoholics Anonymous, right?
Yeah.
Like control the things that I can control, and don't worry about the things I cannot. And what we can choose is our attitude. We can choose happiness. We can choose joy. We can choose love. We can choose patience. We can choose the fruits of the Spirit, and may it all abound in us and be a blessing for others. Junior, I'm so grateful that you got to be on this podcast. You are worthy, brother. You are loved. You are a shining light in this world, and it resonates with me, which is why I wanted to make sure you got on this podcast, and I'm sure it's resonating with the listeners of this show as well. So thank you very much, brother.
I appreciate it. I hope the listeners can make sense of what I just talked about, because I kind of don't remember everything I talked about. It's kind of a jumble. If you need a roadmap, hit me up. I'll try to get you in that path, because I don't even know where I'm at. But no, I appreciate you, give me the opportunity to be on here and talk about all this.
It's powerful, man. It's powerful. And that's the thing is, one thing, and this goes back to the beginning of the episode where we talked about made in the image of God. Well, if God is all powerful and we're made in his image, then we are meant to be powerful and we are meant to stand in that power. And standing in that power means being authentic and true to ourselves and sharing our stories and sharing our experiences and inwardly reflecting to continually grow to make sure that one step goes in front of the other. And inch by inch is a cinch. Mile by mile may take a while, but inch by inch is a cinch. And we got this. And you got this. And all you listeners, you got this. And remember to let your light shine before men. Because no matter when you think you're alone, when you think no one is always and no one's watching, there's always people observing you and saying, I see how that guy operates. And that guy is the type of person I want to be around. That's a guy I want to get to know. That's someone who I want to emulate. Or maybe it's like, oof, that's somebody I need to make sure I steer clear of. Or maybe that's, man, I can always learn something from somebody, even what it's not, what not to do.
Absolutely.
And how we stand and show up in this world is important. So be encouraged, be of good cheer. Know that life is happening for you. It's not happening to you. We are not victims. We are warriors and we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Junior, I'm so honored to have you be a part of the episodes of the Soul Seekers podcast. May this live in infamy and eternally for all the people to ever find. Good luck on your hunt. I hope you're blessed with the exact buck that you are dreaming of and thinking of. And
well, I appreciate that.
and you're rewarded for your diligence. I'm really proud of you. So,
well, I appreciate it. Once again, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this.
Absolutely. Guys, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to give it a thumbs up, leave a rating, review, comment, all that stuff. Reach out to us at soulseekersnation.com or connect with us on our social media pages, Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok, although I'm not really on TikTok that much. But thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of Soul Seekers Nation. Remember, it is up to us to be the change that we want to see in the world. And that if you want hunting to last for generations to come, then you gotta be a part of that. That means sharing the gospel, sharing the love that you have within you with this world, and never to cover up your light, and never to shine. Let your light shine before all humanity, whether it's the love of Jesus or your love for humanity or your love for hunting. Love stems from somewhere, and that's a good heart. I want you guys to be blessed, be of good cheer, be of encouragement, and go make a difference in this world because you already are. Thanks for listening to this episode. Be blessed. Remember that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure and that you can never outgive good as mentorship is conservation. Be blessed. For Johnny Mack and Junior Owen, freedom on. And as always, stay soulful. If you enjoyed today's podcast and want to support the show, you can always like, share, subscribe, and leave a rating as it helps us share our mission of mentorship is conservation. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of Soul Seekers Nation as we transform lives through primal adventure.